The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Joining me on the set this morning in studio is my good friend and colleague here at Guardian Media, a gentleman that we see every morning on CNC3's The Morning Brew. That's right. I got JW in the studio with me, and chatting with me on the noise pollution versus the animals is Joshua Alexander, chairman of the National Animal Control Committee. And the son of, I'll leave you to say.
Well, we try our best to hide it. Because they say, oh, you're trying to choke up yourself. But people often forget that we've been doing this for many, many years. And I myself have been an animal activist now for about 5 years. We sort of kidnapped JW this morning to bring him.
So come on. Yeah, we definitely kidnapped. Jason, good morning.
Good morning. I mean, I must say, I've learned a lot from Josh, and I think my level of awareness through his conversation and advocacy is one that I can safely say kind of changed my perspective on animals and I guess fireworks and how we treat with fireworks, where it's done, and just the impact on animal owners and people who love animals, because it's just something I never really considered.
Well, pal, I and you in the same boat. I just tell people straight up, I love animals in your yard. And not because I am an animal hater, but I don't have the time and the finances to invest in taking care of a pet.
And that's cool, because at the end of the day, you want to know that if you have a pet, you want to give it the very best.
The very best, you know? So I want to make sure somebody, you know, saying share the camera. So Jason, you go just... Well, the camera... No, yeah, you just had a slide
just,
down.
Yeah.
No, down.
Oh, this
down.
Way? Okay.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, nice. You're perfect right there, man. You're inside. That could pull straight to you, you know? Oh, and nice. Raise up and thing is right. Yeah. You lean it up. You could pull that straight. They're coming. Pull it. Look at that.
Good, up to the time.
Look
fancy,
at
fancy work, my boy.
Yeah, you inside and nice like a pie, man. So we definitely discussing the issue about the noise pollution versus the animals, and we would have heard in the news just a few moments ago on the 8 o'clock news update that the people at the zoo, the animals. I don't know. I have seen persons with dogs, and Diwali, Christmas. Don't talk for New Year's. Old years into New Year's, the dogs are trembling.
It's not them alone. I mean, we having that event outside of the zoo. There are a lot of animals that we have in the zoo that are prey animals that are programmed to run for noise and for other things that could be detrimental to them, because they're hunted in their natural habitat. So if you tune to hear a stick break in the middle of the night, imagine 2-3 times a year, Baghdad outside. It's terrifying. And a lot of these animals, they get injured badly. Some animals have heart attacks and die. I mean, I have seen endless stories on social media of this person, you know, they're sitting down home trying to quiet their dog and their dog dies of a heart attack.
What?
It's impossible to explain to the animals that this is what is happening. And modern forward-thinking societies have started to move away from the traditional fireworks displays. I mean, we have different things now. We have silent fireworks, which aren't really silent, to those who haven't listened. They're just smaller, scaled down, less explosive power. But it's still more or less the same thing. But a lot of me and Jace were talking about on air just now on CNC3 that drone shows is becoming a very popular technology, and there's a lot of opportunity. I see we're fighting with the equipment here.
I'll get through it. Nice.
But there's a lot of technology now that allows you to put on really impressive displays and do things that fireworks can't do with drones. Now, if it is...
True.
If it is that noise is something that you're into, well, I mean, yeah, it's going to have to come down to, you know, it's a democracy. So we're going to have to, you know, as a people, vote on it. But as far as the wow factor, the visual impact, there are options now, you know.
And you're correct with the drone. I have seen it in the carnival season. I've seen it on the Dimash Gras. I've seen it on shows where they have these drone displays. And I mean, I don't know how they just do it, eh? Who the controllers, how many men, I don't know. I just see the finished product. And it looks amazing. It is amazing. I can't imagine the training that goes into it. But let's back it up a little bit. And Jay, you was talking on The Morning Brew a few moments ago. Mm-hmm. You know, what were some of the standout points for you on The Morning Show in chatting here with Joshua?
I think, again, just the level of awareness, the understanding that for years, We would have had the tradition of fireworks by the Queen's Park Savannah. We know that the Savannah itself brings a certain energy. You know, the families there with the beach chairs, you know, you see the children, it's the traffic around the Savannah. It's just a lively place. And I think with life comes change. Awareness brings about that change. And I'm just trying to figure out what, just trying to, in my mind, map out where will probably be the best next spot to continue with probably a fireworks display, if indeed, you know.
But do you think do you think that government missed the mark in terms of pulling the blanket on the parade this year? Because for the, how many years? This is our 63rd installation, our 63rd. So for 62, or let me say the better part of 61, I'm even going further, 60 years, we would have celebrated it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if when Dr. Eric Williams declared independence in 1962, if we had fireworks display 63 down until now. I don't know. But for as long as I know myself, we have had these displays. Did government err, in your respected opinion, by pulling the plug on this? I mean, citing the fact that there are security concerns with one group of individuals assembling in at one spot, making themselves a visible target for criminals.
I think, obviously, we look at COVID. That was a time in where they pulled the parade too because of that circumstance, which was a strange time. We also in a strange time, I mean, they would have intelligence, I'm sure, that we might not have access to. I mean, I feel a scaled-down version or probably doing something the Monday might have been a good look. But again, the decision already made. And I guess, you know, a bit unfortunate, but based on, I think it's important to move and work with that because you don't want an incident or any kind of mishap. That would put a real, real spoke in the independence wheel, and it would be a spoiler.
I agree with Jay, to some extent. I mean, now this is not my wheelhouse. I hate to talk animals, guys, but I mean, on the parade aspect of things, we are in an SOE. Mm-hmm. Now, I, like you all, just have the information that's in the general public.
Uh-huh.
But you have some threats against very important people in our national security apparatus, who, if we had the parade, would all be there. And you would also have a very large concentration of our security forces in one spot, not protecting the rest of the island. So you would make it very easy for anyone who wants to do anything to do so, because we would be spread thin for resources. So we as a society need to put on some long pants here now. I mean, it's no secret the situation that this country is in financially, socially. Trinidad is in a bad place, and we can't stick our heads in the sand and say, oh, well, you know, everything hunky-dory. We had to kind of act like nothing is wrong, and maybe it's not going to fix itself that way. We need to get serious as a people. You know, if you have a family and your house burning down, nobody ain't playing.
True that. So you mentioned something that was very, very important. I don't know if Jay picked up on it, if you all talked about it upstairs in CNC3. But you mentioned that animals, two things. One, they die from heart attacks. And then you talk about prey animals. I think you need to delve a little deeper with that to help people understand the psyche of these preyed upon animals and how they, what their minds are trained to do. As you mentioned, the prick of a stick in the middle of the night, they would run.
So you have different types of animals have different psychological or different biological hardwiring that predispose them to certain reactions to different things. I mean, it's a natural thing that when a predator is stalking in the jungle, that it would put one foot, if it's on four legs, it would put its back legs in the same spot that it put its front legs so that it avoids stepping on anything to alert the prey animal.
Interesting.
Correct. And now prey animals are predisposed to hearing movement around them so that they can escape. Because, I mean, when you're an animal in the jungle or in the wilderness, it's life or death, you know?
And they have to take flight.
Yeah.
Most times, yeah.
Correct.
So with them being bred in captivity, does it carry that same instinct?
Yeah, that doesn't go away. I mean, it's like, you know, you have people who, you know, you hear those stories about this guy in this country, he has a lion living with him, and then, oops, the lion kill him. You can't take the instincts out of an animal. I mean, it took us thousands of years to get dogs where they are, you know, as domesticated animals. And a lot of the animals that we take for granted are domesticated. It's thousands of years of selective breeding that got them there. And hundreds of years in some. It takes decades to standardize a breed of dog, even hundreds of years. So you can't treat with them as if they know they're domestic. And you remember, you can't communicate to them, so there's no way to explain what is happening. And I mean, there's some people. Trinidad and Tobago is a young society.
Mm-hmm.
In our empathy towards our friends in Fur and Feathers, you know, we do suffer with an epidemic of animal abuse, and a lot of it is not necessarily malice, you know. From an education standpoint, there's not much. There's no programs really that educate people on the value of animals. I mean, if you look at places like England, the States, for the most part, have you ever seen a stray dog on the streets?
No.
Me neither.
I've never seen it.
Me and Jay was talking about that.
No, it's true.
From an educational standpoint and from an animal control standpoint, it's not allowed. If you abandon an animal, there's serious consequences. In Trinidad, you can get a dog, kill the dog, nobody knows.
You know, I knew someone, not personally, but there was a story out of a gated community in Fort Lauderdale.
Mm-hmm.
Trinis went on the bought a house, and you know, there's have ducks roaming with these nice ponds, these manly
yes,
ponds.
Yes, like swans and things be there as well too.
Well, of course, needless to say, the duck end up in a curry, in a pot.
Oh God.
Yeah, they softened up the duck, but cameras captured the person, and residents spoke, and the person had to leave the premises, you know. They got like notice to come out of the gated, and I think they had some legal implications too. Because let me go on and thing walking in Florida and them duck, you can't pick up them duck. They problems, you know. Remember, that is done for a certain beautification as far as an aesthetic. You pay for that. All that's part of the package.
Oh.
You could go by a lake, a man-made pond, and watch a duck do his thing. You can't go there and pick up yourself and decide, hey. So we need to really step up. And I must say, people like Josh and others who are stakeholders in that regard, they raise the conversation and I think bring a level of awareness, because again, the random person will not be thinking about that.
And that's the factor. There was a story that broke in one of the water parks in the US, and Josh, you can attest, she was working with this killer whale for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And in the full view of spectators on camera, this whale
killed
the trainer.
Because imagine you live your whole life in the ocean. You could swim thousands of miles, you know? You have unchecked freedom. You're living in a swimming pool. The pool is four times the length of your body. That's like you go in your bathroom at home, turn off all the lights, and just stay there for the rest of your life. And every now and again, people come and chuck you and ask you to do tricks.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is,
you know, I didn't think about that, because my takeaway from that whole story was something that you just mentioned. And he mentioned about the wild, the man who growing up, the lion, and then all of a sudden, oops, the lion eat him. You talk about instincts that don't leave. So even though these animals are bred in captivity, the killer whales that you catch in the ocean and bring them in a aquarium, you have challenges. But what about those bred in captivity? Does the instinct to...
Yeah, it remains. It takes many, many, many generations of selective breeding of animals, and you have to select out of every single birth the ones that have the specific behavior patterns that you wish to see and the specific markings and structure, and then you have to breed that one, and you have to continue to try to get the other aspects that you don't want out with that selective breeding.
So it's a lot of studying. Paying attention.
It's not like you could just breed an animal in captivity and the next generation is a different animal, because they're not as they are because of just one lifespan of education from another animal. You know, it's like turtles. Turtles hatch and instinctively run for the water.
And you know, I'm glad you mentioned that. Davey, Josh, you remember back in the day when people would go to see the turtles lay the eggs and
yes.
stuff? I remember there was a big controversy, and I'm glad I've never seen it since. While lady sat down, remember when she was sitting
yes.
down on the ladder back?
While you're trying to get to lady eggs.
And let me tell you, the waist down that lady, and I'm thinking that, you know, we come into a place. I was trying to study what will go through somebody's mind to sit down on that.
Like, if the turtle is laying, you know?
If I see a turtle, it's like, I just so happy to see it. I don't even want to
go too close.
Yeah.
I want to admire it from a distance, you know, because I don't want to startle the animal.
Well, there's the education, you see. A lot of people, there's no understanding of this is a sentient being. This thing also, you know, is alive. It has its own feelings and thought patterns, and it's not an autopilot. And
interesting.
This is where we need to. So Gandhi, he had said that you know, you judge a society on how they treat their animals. And this is why I say that we are a young society. We need education. We need to come forward. You know, that is why older civilizations have different ways of treating with animals. Because you, for example, I don't know if you noticed, it's a new study.
Mm-hmm.
It's been more prevalent recently, but even the animals that we eat. Now, there's some people who, you know, that to them is a fight as well. But I would say that to the general person, the animal that you eat, the psychological part of the way that it's slaughtered has a lot to do with how you receive that food. You know, your mood could be changed. If you eat an animal that had a very horrific death, it's different to if you eat one that had a very clean death. Even the structure of the meat itself can be altered by the chemicals in the bloodstream of the animal at the time of death.
Wow. Let me take a call. Hello, good morning. This is Deep Jason.
Mm. Well, I'm a vegan, but that was not the persuasive argument. The persuasive argument for me was what meat does to me, not just meat that suffered as the animal died, meat as a whole, animal product as a whole. But I do infringe because the best source of omega-3 is still fish oil and that kind of thing. You know, I'm not a fool. I just stay with what I think is best for me. But, you know, you said something earlier about we are a young society. Now, we are a young society, but I'm an adult. I'm as smart as I'm ever going to be, right? We have so many adults here. Are we making excuses because we got independence just 63 years ago? You know, 61 years, whatever it is.
All right.
I was born 65 years ago, so 63 years. So I'm saying... we making excuses for educated people like myself, a senior citizen with a lot of experience, and we are saying, well, you know, we are not treating animals right because we are only independent for so many years. I'm not buying into that. We are educated adults. We have a responsibility to propagate proper treatment of animals and get it done quickly.
All right. Thank you. I want to disagree with that caller somewhat because of the nature you're talking about. We playing smart with foolish things. As the years progress, we learn. We are learning something that's different this morning. I did not, and I'm sure you never thought of it.
Yeah, David.
These preyed upon animals. I've never looked at it in this way. Preyed upon animals, their psyche is different. You remember, you now talk about flight.
Mm.
They train. They hear a noise. You ever watch a bird come down on the ground to pick up stuff?
Well, I'm going to give you a bird story. And now, when we had our independence celebration that year, they had a reenactment right in Woodford Square.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was somebody playing Eric Williams. There was a whole reenactment.
I remember that.
A couple of years ago. So I went to that. So it had a junior gun concert that same night. I remember I parked somewhere close to like Sackville Street, close to Rison Road, because Tongue was in a mess with parking. So I parked way off.
Walk.
So I'm walking with a brethren of mine, Mark, past Clico's building, right there, up on.
Mm-hmm. I know. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And same time we're going back now, the fireworks went off. And the blackbirds, all them blackbirds that was resting in the trees.
Go on.
Look now, birds that attack us, you know. I end up on the ground, you know. Josh, on the pavement, I lied to them because them birds had to fly into a building. It was pandemonium in town with the blackbirds. I know blackbirds can aggressive already.
They're
yeah?
very aggressive when I have young ones.
Yeah, that caller, I understand what you're saying, you know, because we have a large cross-section of society that they're very willing and they're willing to get on board with proper treatment of animals. And I mean, I understand if you have a heart for these things, it's hurt you when you see... When you see things that are not as you know them to be or could be, it's very difficult to continue to accept
mm-hmm.
or to work on it at a pace that allows you to really change society in a sustainable way. So I understand his frustration, you know?
He is. And again, we learn. Hello, good morning. Quickly, please.
Awesome. Just in the panel. Which question
did
the
street? No, that is not in Trinidad. We're talking about foreign countries.
Since they opened them three Chinese restaurants,
Oh God, don't do me that now. Come now.
curry stew, boy.
All right, pal. Don't do me that. Don't do me that now. We're talking serious thing, man. Come on. 625-2257 and 627-3223. We kidnapped Jason to talk about Chinese restaurant and stray dog.
Oh,
we literally get Jason for a Kobo sweat downstairs here this morning, you know. We don't get Jason like that. So we'll be having these discussions. Let's be let's be intelligent about it.
Does he rumble any morning rumble?
Does he rumble? You understand? Good morning. Good morning. Hello? All right. Call me back. Hello?
Morning. Good morning, MDV. Morning, JW, on your birthday. And
Joshua, yeah.
You know, what disturbs me, boy, JW? You see, after the independence, boy, when it got in the morning, boy, you see animals all over the place dead. People loving dogs jump over the gate. The kittens, the birds fall down. I see my neighbor, the blood coming out from the dog head. Because animals are here 10 times stronger than human beings. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
And it's very sad. I fully support this band of this fireworks. And, you know, we have the silence one where you could send it up and it's silent. The noise pollution is very, very disturbing. It's a public health crisis.
Mm-hmm.
In what is taking place here.
All right.
JW and your brothers there.
Joshua, yeah. Thank you so much. Hello, good morning. Quickly, please. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. I'm calling from Bukavu. Yes. Those two animal lover people here, do they only deal with dogs alone or do they deal with cats and horses and donkeys
all
different animals?
All
different animals?
All different animals. We're talking animals in a whole here.
All right, because recently I saw a woman who mining as a dog on television said she could not food to feed them. Say by carrying them food to feed those dogs.
I
know you can ask them.
Yes.
All right, thanks.
I can touch on that. I mean, me and JW know each other because mm-hmm. the first time I was ever on his show, I am responsible, my organization, for the three largest donations of animal supplies in history of Trinidad and Tobago. Mm-hmm. And we take care of everybody through our friends on this committee. I mean, the national... Well, let me just do a few plugs here because I realize we kind of dive into it. So most people are going to want to ask themselves, what is the National Animal Control Committee? Who are you all? What are you all about? So for years, me and JW, I think he has interviewed me. He's probably spoken to me more the last 3 years than my mother. We've dealt with every issue you could imagine for the animals. We've united now the TSPCA. Just to call us a few of them, but it's over 40 organizations with us.
Wow.
The TSPCA, Animals Alive, Animals 360, Animal Welfare Network, the Veterinary Association of Trinidad and Tobago, the Veterinary School, the University of Trinidad and Tobago, UWE, is on this team. And we also have all of the major rescuers and the professional rescuers as well who have given this as their life service. You know, we have members of the police, we have members of government as well on this team. And the goal of this is to actually drive home a holistic plan to deal with the animal issues, because you have different issues. I mean, you have the way that farm animals are treated, you have the dog problem with spay and neuter and abandoned dogs, you have a increasing cat epidemic, which mm-hmm. is the cat problem is a serious one that people aren't really seeing, because the biodiversity of Trinidad and Tobago is being affected by it. You know, cats are natural predators, so when you have these natural predators roaming, what is Trinidad famous for? Birds, bird watching. Cats hunt birds.
And rats.
Correct. Well, we are more bird than rat.
We are more bird than rat.
Yeah.
Let go some of them in Sawa.
Woodbrook.
Let go some of them cats in Sawa. They will clean up. They will clean up by the market. If they're different again, they will deal with that now, boys. So let go some. But, I mean, it's a question I wanted to ask you as well, Joshua, in terms of heart attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Animals get heart attacks.
Yes.
Domestic animals. So your pets, you said, and this is something, I mean, I witnessed it once, where the dog could not be calmed.
Yeah.
They're trying to calm the pet. That is, keep pet into a bedroom, into a room, and close the door, and the pet trying to be calm, and they can't seem to calm this pet.
Yeah.
And this is their house pet.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, as I say, you know, he who feels it knows it. You have a large cross-section of society that are deeply in love with their animals, and they know the way that our society's politics, I guess, is set up. He who has a voice is Gepong.
But do animals get more agitated or aggressive? Not agitated, but aggressive. The ones that seem to be docile, would they get your pets? Are they more aggressive during Diwali and Olia's night celebrations when these fireworks are going off? Do they get more aggressive? Can they bite their owners?
There's no increase in the general temperament of an animal. But if you're fighting for your life, you are no dangerous. If I thought that I was going to die, you know, and this is a matter of survival, well, you know, my natural predisposition is going to change as well. So, yeah, you are at risk. But I mean, if your dog, let's say somebody, your dog gets injured very, very badly and you go to help the dog, but your dog is in crazy pain.
Snap at you.
Yeah, so... You know, you can't really blame something that thinks it's going to die.
All right. Jason, you think we should cancel Diwali and, I mean, Olia's night, sorry, they should ban all these things? You remember Scratch Bomb used to be a nuisance?
Yeah.
And they banned Scratch Bomb. What do you think about Diwali and Christmas? Christmas, Diwali, New Year's.
I think we probably need to, there needs to be more awareness, more conversation. Like, for me personally, I do buy fireworks.
I don't want a part of it.
I don't. It's something that, don't get me wrong, I like to see it. Right, but I do buy it because again, I have neighbors who have again true conversations with Josh. You see, you have to apply now the conversation into meaningful action because it would just be conversation.
Correct.
Conversation comes with this kind of conversation when you learn something, you make your adjustment, and that's where the change comes around. And to me, I think if we could probably, I don't know, but Josh mentioned it this morning, probably put a barge out there somewhere in the ocean, because that's what Hyatt Lime, they do that every year. Every year, Hyatt Lime does have great fireworks, but they put their fireworks in the ocean. So you stand up there by the waterfront and you're looking out into the sea.
And you're seeing it.
And it's not impacting anybody. And the reflection on the water is something magical. So I think probably that could be a consideration. Take it to the waterfront, probably somewhere down by Movie Town side, by Hyatt, I don't know.
But even if you go down to by Movie Town side, you could go down Carinage on the beach and you could still see that area. So you could go anywhere along the sea line, along the coast, and you could see it.
I wonder, will it impact fish?
No.
Okay, good question.
Yeah. Because I'm not saying that we put
the marine life.
Not really, I mean...
It's above the water. You don't hear songs in the water from outside.
Well, I guess it probably would, but I guess...
Faintly. I don't have the scientific data on it. I can't really have an informed decision or position. But if you're underwater in a pool and somebody's shouting at you from outside, you can't hear them.
Exactly, so...
Yeah. But I feel our barge vibes, probably waterfront...
That's a good one.
Could be a good compromise, honestly. And then I guess for Diwali, remember the fireworks is done by the Diwali Nagar there, and that's a massive facility. Not many people, I think, live in that space.
In that space.
Yeah, that people living across the highway for sure.
Right.
I think that's something gardens, I forget the gardens across.
And that's squatting land, that's not even an area, that's just like
a
developed community that happened over time
in
colonial times.
If I could just stick
of course.
Something in there. GW just said a very important word, and I think that, you know, that is a very important part of the conversation. A lot of people are missing the word compromise, you know, because... Mm-hmm. We were talking just now on his show, and you can't just grab a national issue and just throw it along on the ground and mash it up. Because there are a lot of people who, as I say, you know, the lack of education, you're causing rifts in society, so it's baby steps. Now, they have some people on our committee, not all of us agree with everything,
mm-hmm.
you know, and some people, we outright want silence. And some people are like, I am willing to take small improvements we all have the same end goal, you know. But some people want it now, and some people are willing to walk slowly towards it while bringing everybody with you. And I think that's important. You know, it's not a fight. This issue, I see in people on social media, and if I could plug very briefly, I would like to big up the government, because JW knows this is not the first time we've raised this issue. You know, we raised this to all the previous administrations.
So then let me ask you a question then. It would be remiss of me if I don't ask you this. You think we should ban busing bamboo? We should get rid of, let's say, as I mentioned to JW a few moments ago, we ban scratch bombs entirely.
Yes.
Have we reached a stage now where we need to get rid of the fireworks, forget the people who making money on it? But as you mentioned, bringing the silent ones, we need to, so around Olia's night,
yeah, no, there's no reason for it. Because you can't tell... No, I mean, everybody has their opinion, but me personally, you can't tell me, hey, you know, this, we're celebrating this, so this is a reason to have, to have national animal abuse.
Okay,
national
animal abuse.
Because when you think about it, the government was paying to terrorize its zoo animals every year for independence. So while we in the savannah, who are, you know, nobody really worrying about what's going on over the road. And those of us who monitor social media chatter will tell you that every single year you have the zookeepers and the stakeholders of the zoo in tears on social media talking about this animal was injured, this animal died, they sedating the animals, you know, because there's nothing else you can do other than try to put the animal to sleep
while this happening.
It's terrible, you know, and we as a society, we don't need this, you know. And I want to congratulate the government for taking this step forward. A lot of countries around the world have banned fireworks. I mean, I think just the other day...
I don't think they banned it, you know.
No, Netherlands, I think. Is that Netherlands or Canada?
I'm talking Trinidad. We ain't banned it. We just suspend this one. Because we still have Diwali coming up.
Correct.
And we still have Christmas coming up.
Yeah. New Year's.
And New Year's.
We just suspend one event.
We on the NACC, we want the government to suspend all fireworks and look towards legislative changes and enforcement, because you know it's illegal to light fireworks in city limits, by the way.
And they do it.
So, earlier's night, when people learn, and I want to ask, I see in all of the regional corporations, or quite a number of them, Tuna Puna, Arima Sando, talking that they're going to have firework displays this year. I want the TTPS, if any police officer is listening to me right now, talk to your commissioner of police. Police officers need to show up there and ask to see the permit. If you do not have a permit to light those fireworks, arrest people. Arrest people. Because it is illegal to do it. The law says you need a permit. Do you have your permit? And if you have a permit, well, then we need to look at, from a national perspective, maybe a public consultation. And to really get a vote from the public on how you feel about this.
You know, I want to agree with you and Jason. I mean, I'm really grateful for this. People are messaging me down like first time. They say, what is your guest views on cat owners that allow their cats to roam anywhere? Many of them destroy people, plant, defecating people, gallery, chairs, property. Why they can't keep the cats in cages and like dogs? You just chain up a cat?
No, I never seen anybody chain up a cat. But I could agree with the first point where, remember, cat is very agile. A cat not like a dog. A dog will be limited in terms of its movement and where it could go. A cat could spring up, jump wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a cat.
Them could get in.
And when they can't get in now,
that if you're fool.
Oh my goodness. Sometimes they do the most. So I'm thinking that cat owners really need to
keep the cats in check. So let me ask this question, right? This has to do with the cultural aspects of things now. We're talking bamboo busing.
Mm.
The busing of bamboo, Diwali. That is significant. That's part of Trinidad, the fabric of Trinidad, where it comes to that particular culture.
Mm-hmm.
The Hindu festival, you know, Diwali. If we take that away, wouldn't advocates argue that we are interfering with the fabric of celebrating Diwali? Would we not be infringing on those rights?
So I'm a Hindu.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see any relevance in it, to be honest. I don't feel...
Well, I think it's tradition. It's nothing spiritual. It's more tradition of Trinidadians.
Well, as I was saying, you know, like, so it had nothing to do with Diwali itself. I mean, I don't think you're going to find Hindus say, you know, I want to bust bamboo. Nobody... These things, and just like fireworks, as I say, as we become a more educated society, more empathetic and sympathetic to the needs of the animals,
mm-hmm.
we will move beyond these things. And this is the general direction that we need to take it in. You can't tell yourself, well, you know, this is a good thing. So imagine what was this society in Central America that used to sacrifice human beings thousands of years ago? You want to cut open people and sacrifice their heart and all kind of nonsense. That could have still be culture today. When I say that could have still be culture, they would have, you know, at some point in time, you had to ask yourself, you take sense from nonsense. You know, is this good for my society or not? Do I want to continue to evolve as a society or not? What do we want? Do you know that our tourism product is badly affected by the amount of animal abuse in Trinidad and Tobago? A lot of foreigners come here and go home and write articles that go viral in their home countries about why it shouldn't come to Trinidad and Tobago, because the homeless animal population and animal abuse will break your heart.
You know, I want to ask something, Josh, and you could probably lead us in that regard. So, Davey, are you aware that it's very problematic for somebody to come into Trinidad with their dogs? So, like, people who have, like, their support dogs, I think when you reach Tepiaco, the dog has to be quarantined. There's certain protocols and paperwork that sometimes just put a lot of foreigners in a kind of tailspin, because your dog, if your paperwork not in again, you can, I think that's generally how it is most places. But I heard
you not do like the firearm and like people with firearm, you send information up front that you're coming in and send that.
But I think it's still
a
problem.
Agency.
I think it's just, I've heard horror stories where people literally in Piako in tears because,
you know, we live in a dinosaur archaic society. Eh? We backward bad.
Are there plans to improve that?
Yeah.
So I don't have any information on that topic. I actually never encountered that. Didn't know that was a problem. So I could probably
you can find out.
We could investigate it, because I mean, what the NACC is trying to do is we want to have a holistic plan. Different pockets of mm-hmm. the plan. So it's separate. Different items on the animal welfare spectrum fall under different ministries, and mm-hmm. some things are the regional corporations and the local government. Some things is the Ministry of Agriculture. Yeah. You know, so they're different things that we're looking at, and they all are separate. But we want to come up with a holistic plan. So, animals in captivity, companion animals, prey animal, food stock animals. They're all different.
And the thing about it, it's a very interesting point that you brought up. Just recently, I was in Jamaica, in Mobe area, and one person was allowed to enter Jamaica with a firearm. They have a legal firearm user's license from the States, and they came in the country with it. Mm. You know when they was arrested, Jason?
When they what?
Trying to leave.
Trying to leave.
So you come through customs. That's Jamaica. I was right there in the airport when the woman got arrested, and they said that, yeah, you had a permit for this, but not in this country. And I came back, I remember coming back here and doing some research on it, and I found out that if you have a firearm and you want to get into this country, you have to send info beforehand, photocopy, whatever, send it through the agency, get it here. So by the time you reach Trinidad, they have it, and then they can process it and allow you in. Because the woman was allowed to come in Jamaica with it, you know, she produced her documents that that's a legal firearm. It was leaving the country, she couldn't leave with it. As a matter of fact, she was arrested for it. Mm-hmm. It was illegal at that point. So I'm thinking the dogs, the animals, if you're having challenges and you're coming with your pet, while the plane secures the animal for you in a crate in the cargo area, when you get to the country, could we look at, or is it possible to send information beforehand?
Well, I think people will have to do the due diligence.
I think so.
And you do your investigation. And from what I heard, again, this is, and I guess Josh could always do your research too. I just heard, like, sometimes there are certain little issues that will come up. However, folks at the airport, yes, they try to help and they cooperate and they go beyond the boundary. But I think people sometimes just feel you could pick up yourself, bring your dog, and just it doesn't work like that.
Well, it's similar to human sicknesses. Remember, you have cross border considerations of what sort of diseases are affecting the animals in the country that this animal is coming in. I speak in just as a regular person here, because we don't have an official position on this as a committee. So,
yeah,
but that's one to look into, though.
Yeah, but it's definitely something to look into, and I mean, thank you for bringing it.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I'm gonna add that to the agenda, because, for example, recently when we were having our last stakeholders meeting, one of the vets was saying that she's seen a lot of leptospirosis, and there are other diseases. Usually, she would have seen one or two for the year. She says she's seeing like weekly. You know, and then I think it was 3 years ago, Dr. Kriyan Singh was blowing the whistle on canine distemper. So you have, particularly now that you have so many animals coming across our borders from Venezuela, unchecked, as unregistered cargo. Diseases.
You know, I want to thank you guys. We slowly making our way. I know Jay, you just be real busy in the morning. Come, it's easy to get up in the morning and reach and do this morning show. I get up vexed every morning and happy when I see nine. I telling you, I doing it for almost a year now. A few months I'm doing the morning show and I vex every morning to get up with the alarm. You know, but Jay's not asking you this question. 27,000 different type of snakes. So what percentage do you think is vegetarian snakes?
Vegetarian snake?
Which one do you think is, which out of 27,000, which one is it?
I don't know, but I'll tell you this.
How you gonna do the man that, boy?
I know most not poisonous.
Right.
Right? But I'll tell you this, you know, snakes don't have bother me at all. I saw one up there yesterday. Nah, I swear, a baby snake.
I have problems with that, boy.
I see it and I just usher it out.
Nah, I have problems with that.
Snake don't bother me at
nah,
all.
No.
Come on, but snakes, that, snake, I have a job to do, you know.
Watch me, that was one of them questions. Like, you know that fella, what you know? that is something he would ask somebody on independence.
I try to wiggle out.
I know. Watch me, Jason, you're out there trying to debate in the air. He said, vegetarian snake, when
are you going on this, boy?
No. That's just some peacock there. I mean, I never see a snake eat apple yet, you know. All snakes kill to eat. So all of them are carnivores. You know, they know who before snakes, right? All of them is kill. All of them is kill to
not,
eat.
Not, well, yeah, to eat. But
all.
But we have this way we feel every snake we see poisonous and go and kill us.
No, but I tell you.
He's going to draw for cutlass. Snake get the dreadest rap. Out there for animals, you know, snake, boy, people do business, but they see a snake, the snake must die, you know.
It's a very important part of the ecosystem.
Very important.
No, I watched a baby snake by me the other day, and my son was cleaning up, and we saw a baby snake, you know, and yet that snake no longer along the the land of the living.
Wow.
In my mind, if I throw you down in the river, in the big drain, I walk out the side of Gogdong, and show you, you're going to go and get big and come back.
Mm-hmm. That might swing back.
Yeah.
And that will cause a problem. Best I done you quick. I going by a friend. I find these stairs well chop up. You know, dig up. He come home one night and see a snake lying down in the steps in the inside, and he chop the whole step, miss the snake, you know.
Yeah.
I am terrified.
Snakes got a bad rep.
I don't like snakes. I remember filming in the zoo. Jobs. I'm sure I used to do on CNC3, just occupations beyond scope, and I became a zookeeper for a day. It was a two-part series I did. And when I went into the zoo, the black tigray, we went in there, and they had mustard. They was feeding mustard around that time, so they didn't feed mustard in the front, because children don't like to see what mustard had to eat. Yeah. Children petting her boy. So what mustard gonna eat?
Yeah.
It had people in the zoo, so I carry mustard in the back, and mustard is a huge boa constrictor. Constricted, I have to carry him in the back. And he is in this cage, this stage, long like the table here. And it has two doors. And Josh and Jay are telling you, I literally wet myself because I and the cameraman going in there now. Mm. And they pick up the long-haired animal. Mm. I'm going to call it, you're listening. They pick it up. They went shopping in with a basket and they're looking in the same zoo. And they pick up one. And I mustard food today. Mustard has to be fed. And mustard know this thing coming. But what is amazing, it has two doors. You could open one here and one there. So they're watching to see where mustard head is to open the door. So they're tricking mustard here. And you know, when they open that door and fling that rabbit in, it didn't touch. Mustard reach out and pick it up.
It's a sad part of nature.
It is. Then the guy took out a tigray and he was talking and I was demonstrating. And he says this snake, you know, it bites movement. But I'm interviewing him now. And I'm watching him talking. I'm saying, but this snake will bite you in your mouth. Because you know, say the snake. And I watch the snake stop and watch it. You know, it's about 3 bites. He dropped the snake. Nobody couldn't find it. The camera mash up the microphone. Because I drop every... No, I not playing, pal.
Gone.
I not getting kicked. I will call Jason. You pick it up. That dead.
Serious.
Gone.
I telling you, pal, I help you kill a lion. But you see snake? Mm-mm. I ain't going wrong. I don't want no part. I'm very, very sorry. I'm not playing with snakes. So bless all your hearts. For those of all you who love snakes... Bless all your
I'm sure I love them, but they don't bother me, you know, honestly. Just let them be. Yeah.
So if you come in your bathroom and see a snake wrong your toilet bowl and thing.
If it's inside, I might have to give it a little two planner or something. But if it's outside, I'll let it go its way.
So just because of the hat I'm wearing this morning, I need to say, please, Trinidad and Tobago, if you encounter wildlife in your home or your property, do not kill it.
Yeah.
Please call. There are many... there's the wildlife, there's Serpentarium, there's so many opportunities.
You come out and see a gator in your pool.
Correct, you could call these guys. They call you every
day. Call Josh.
Yeah, I call you.
Yeah. I might pick it up, but I don't know who to call. Please do not kill the wildlife in your home. They're all important to the biodiversity of our country.
They say a tigray has come back for you, you know, Davey. That's why he was told. It is bite the thing by the man multiple times. And him, like, oh, I got bit. And little blood. Hit him about three, and he drop it, and it move. I was like, "You
gone?"
We in the enclosure right behind. If you know the zoo in the back, we in that area there, and it's a table and all kind of thing, and that drop. pal, wait gone. You mad out. Yeah. I outside. Wait gone. You know, I is one of those persons when you go by the beach and they take a snake and rest it on me. I see JW did that sometime in the past. I think I saw a picture.
Yeah.
Snake,
spider,
No.
Well, I grew up down country, yeah?
No.
I grew up down area. No. So when you grow up in them village areas, you're around animals since you spawn and you kind of get acclimatized now.
Bless your heart, son.
Yes, yes.
I'm not climatizing none.
Yeah.
I don't even want a fish in a bowl. That is too much work for me right now. But I want to thank you all, and Jason, I really want to thank you, boy. It's a good. How long we hear your voice on radio, pal?
It's been a long time, my Davey.
Yeah, you come with your big man voice in, you're singing. Yeah, good morning, Dave. Ease me up a little bit, eh? Ease me up. Take down the bass.
Operator.
Yeah, take down the bass.
Take down the bass, yeah.
Now, you know Jay just as much as I probably know Jay. I started joining the same hairstyle with Jay these days, if you know. You understand? I took pattern now, and I mean, since TSCT days, Jay.
Yeah.
I just always talk about it. It's a long time. I remember when this man left the company and go, I thought he was a madman. You know, everybody wanted to get in. He bust out and go on. But look where Jay is now.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Your father goes still, eh?
He ain't done. The journey continues with Jason Williams.
I make sure I get in early. So when you see JW big, I can still call the phone.
Remember back in the day? I want to do that. Enough time I said, I want Jason show. All that synergy nights and stuff when he was doing that.
And they proud of you too, man. Doing great work. Morning, and Rumble. Good to be here, man. Freedom 106.
I'm trying. We're doing well. Josh, thank you so much for passing through.
Thank you.
And sharing insight. I mean, the text message, I have over 18 messages already. I didn't get a chance to read. So thank you so much, Jason, for taking that Kobo with us this morning.
Of course.
That Kobo sweat, you know. And we really want to say thank you to all the listeners, all of you. It's a wrap for the Morning Rumble this morning.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.